Certainly thankful for the presence to be with you tonight. I look forward to this for, I guess, 2 or 3 months or so that this has been scheduled. Normally, don't go to places just on a Sunday night because sometimes that really gets me in trouble at home. But we had singing night tonight, and I asked the elders about it, and so we had the opportunity to come. Get here, and here sits Jimmy. Didn't expect him to be here. And now I want him to be up here and me sitting there listening to him. I've been a beneficiary of this good church for a long time. For 15 years, I attended the School of Biblical Emphasis in Winfield, Alabama, and was blessed by Jimmy coming and his father, Brother Winford, and other people that came throughout those 15 years. And those were wonderful years of my life. I had to, about 13 years ago, to stop that and started working with the 6th Avenue Church in Jasper with the Gus Nichols School of Biblical Studies. But I still miss going to Winfield, Alabama on Thursday nights. I've heard so many good things about this good church through the years, and you have such a beautiful, beautiful facility that I know that will be used to the glory of God until hopefully the return of His Son. And I thank you for being who you are and what you stand for and what you yield forth in this community. I know the tornado of several years ago, no doubt the devil tried to use that for some point of evil to get you discouraged or whatever, but with the Lord's help and a lot of diligent hard work, he has turned it, and the Lord has, into something good. And we commend you on having this great facility now. Got off of that busy highway out there and able here to kind of stretch yourself out a little bit and do the Lord's work in a wonderful, wonderful way. I appreciate you keeping Jimmy here this long. The way Jimmy preaches, a lot of congregations will not bear that kind of preaching year after year after year. But I know that's what you desire, what you love, and that's what all people ought to desire and love, the kind of preaching that Brother Jimmy does. And I will always stand in respect of him as long as he continues to do what he has done in the past. It's a beautiful day today. We've had lots of rain. I've seen a lot of mud holes filled up on the way up here, and it's supposed to be a dry week this week, and I hope it is. The Lord's just outdone himself today, though, with this beautiful, beautiful day that we've enjoyed, and hopefully get you out in time that you might sit on the porch a little bit, maybe even before dark. I want to talk to you tonight about a topic that's very near and dear to my heart, and even more so since 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago today, I started a meeting with the Pickwick Church in Counts, Tennessee, near Savannah. My brother was with me during that meeting. We worshiped together, we ate together, we prayed together. And on Monday night, the very next night, he was killed tragically in a car accident. And the last 2 weeks have been quite tough. I had to finish that meeting and then deal with the funeral, impart before that words to my mother that my brother and her son had been killed so tragically in a car accident. But the Lord is good, and the Lord sustains us, and we anticipate heaven. So I want to talk to you tonight about overcoming. 7 letters were written to 7 congregations. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11. Those congregations were Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Each of these congregations received an individual letter respective to that congregation. All 7 of those letters had 8 common characteristics. Each letter was addressed from the Lord. Imagine, it may have been 60 years since the Lord walked on earth, and here they receive a very personal letter from the Lord. Each letter also contained an address to the angel of that respective congregation. Now, who that angel was, I don't know. If you know, I would appreciate you tell me, And if we both don't know, then maybe we have to wait till we get to heaven to ask. But the letter was addressed to the angel or the messenger of that local congregation. Each letter also contained at least one or more attribute of the Lord who was writing the letter. And each letter stressed the Lord's omniscience. Every letter, I know. Each letter also was composed of either commendation, condemnation, or both. Each letter stressed the importance of overcoming. And each letter also offered a great reward to those who did overcome. And each letter, number 8, was urged each congregation to urge to listen to what the Spirit saith unto that congregation. Just think about overcoming. Overcoming. That word is a very unique word in the book of Revelation. A form of it is found 17 times in 22 chapters. That word to you and to me as Christians must just throb with meaning when you think about it. That word basically means to conquer, to be victorious over the circumstances at hand. Can we overcome in this world in which we live? Can we be victorious? Can we conquer the circumstances around us? And the answer is yes. Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14, he said, "I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. You're strong and the word of God abideth in you." Yes, we can overcome. Our Lord overcame, didn't he? In John 16, 33, Jesus said, "These things I write unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." To the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3 and verse 21, Jesus said, "You know, if you'll overcome, then as I've overcome, then you can come and be with me." Yes, we can overcome. Our Lord did. In Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, "And these shall make war with a lamb, but the lamb shall overcome them, for he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." Our way of overcoming is certainly through the Lord. In Revelation 12 and verse 11, that lot of that chapter is about Satan. And then in verse 11 it says, "And they overcame him." Just think about it. Overcoming the devil. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Now you just think about, if we will put our trust in the blood of Christ, if we will rely upon the word of God, and we will be so faithful that we would die for the Lord, every single one of us can overcome. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, Paul said, "We triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through him." 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 57. In Romans chapter 5, it talks about being justified by faith, but it says, notice, "through him and by whom." Oh, the key is through the Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, Romans 6:23. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," Philippians 4 and verse 13. And Paul would say that we're conquerors through him in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Yes, we sing the song, "There's victory in Jesus." And the song, stand up for Jesus. "You may overcome through Christ alone and stand entire at last." Overcoming does not demand perfection, but it certainly demands valiant effort. "Be thou faithful unto death," Revelation 2 and verse 10, "and I will give you a crown of life." Strive, agonize to enter in at the straight gate. For many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. In Luke 13, in verse number 24. And if we fail to overcome, what the Lord said about Judas will be true of us. It would have been better that we had never been born. When you come to these letters that the Lord wrote in Revelation chapters 2 and chapter 3, there were a lot of concerns that the Lord had for his people. You just think about it. He was concerned about their needs. He was concerned about what they believed and what they taught. He was concerned about how they lived and how they behaved. He was concerned about their zeal or their lack thereof. He was concerned about their priorities. He was concerned about their spiritual survival. And the Lord writes to these congregations and challenges them to overcome. You think to the church at Ephesus and to the church at Sardis and the church at Laodicea, he challenged them to overcome apathy. And even though he had nothing bad, no condemnation to say to the church at Smyrna, he challenged them to overcome fear. Fear none of these things, he said. Think about to the church at Pergamos. How did he challenge them to overcome false doctrine? To the church at Thyatira, to overcome lust and immorality. And you think about, these are still some of the things that we struggle with. And also to the church at Laodicea was a challenge for them to overcome materialism. Is anybody still struggling with overcoming materialism in our world today? But the Lord said to these people, if you'll overcome, there is a great reward for you. And you think about that reward. Great is your reward in heaven, Matthew 5 and verse number 12. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath a great recompense of reward, Hebrews 10 and verse 35. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. And the Lord would write to the church at Ephesus, and he would say, he that overcometh, he'll be able to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Just think about living forever. To the church at Smyrna, he said, if you'll overcome, there will be a crown for you, and you'll not be hurt by the second death. We deserve to be lost. But by God's grace, the blood of Christ, and by a faithful life, we can escape that of which we deserve. We think about a second death. Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15. Revelation 21, verse 8. The lake which burneth with fire and with brimstone, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever and have no rest day nor night. But the Lord said to that little struggling church at Smyrna, in its poverty and in its tribulation, you be faithful and you overcome and you'll not be hurt by the second death. And aren't we thankful for that promise? To the church at Pergamos, he said, you're going to be sustained. There'll be hidden manna, a stone with your name on it. You'll be special. To the church at Thyatira, there was a victory to receive the morning star, which is Christ himself, to possess the Lord. To the church at Sardis, to be robed in white robes, a victory and purity to acknowledge you before the Father. To the church at Philadelphia, he said, I'll make you a pillar in God's temple. You think about permanent, unmovable part of God's special place. And even to the church at Laodicea, if they would repent. The Lord loved those people. And he said, if you'll overcome, you'll sit with me on my Father's throne and join in the victory. But I want to think with you for the next few minutes, four brief points. If we'll overcome, we get to come over and behold our God. If we'll overcome, we get to be reunited with all the righteous of all the ages. If we'll overcome, we get to experience a place of untold beauty. And number four, if we'll overcome, we'll get to be in a place where all the burdens of life are removed. Just think about being able to behold our God.
We sing a song that says, just one glimpse of him in glory will all the toils of life repay. You know, the psalmist talked about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Daniel talked about, Daniel in Daniel 12, verse 2, he talked about coming up out of the earth to a place of everlasting life. Just think about when you and I get to behold our God. Heaven is the special dwelling place of God. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Our Father, which art in heaven. Oh, to be with him. Wendell Winkler told one time about inviting Brother Gus Nichols to come from Jasper to Dallas, and he gave him 45 minutes to speak. 45 minutes is not enough for Jimmy, much less for Gus Nichols. But Brother Nichols, Brother Winkler said he expected him to have 12 reasons why I want to go to heaven. And Brother Nichols used all of his time to behold my God. Imagine that opportunity when we get to behold our God. Alan Hires told a story one time about a man. Every time he would pray, at some point in that prayer, he would say just a brief little thing about heaven, and he would say, and that'll be enough. And Brother Hires said, he asked him one time, why do you always say, and that'll be enough? He said, well, you know, I've heard preachers talk about degrees of punishment and degrees of reward. He said, if I can just get to heaven and behold my God, that'll be enough. And don't we look forward to that? In Revelation 21 and verse 3 and chapter 22 and verse 3 and 4, it talks about beholding his face. I remember Brother Winfred Clark preaching a sermon one time talking about our great God, and he referred to him as the God of the second chance, the God of the fourth generation, the God of the fifth sparrow, the God of the 11th hour, the God of a thousand hill. And that's our God. And imagine to see the one who has saved you by his grace. The one who the angels cried out and said, he is holy, holy, holy. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Revelation 19:6, Isaiah 6 and verse 3, Revelation 4 and verse 8. Think about the one who loved us. And I can't get my mind off Brother Winfred, but Brother Winfred used to say about 1 John 3 and verse 1, a love that is out of this world. Brother McCord used to say about Romans 5 and verse 8 that God commended his love towards us. He would say he reached down with a big bucket and loved us. And imagine being able to see him. That God so loved us. And think about how he has provided for us. He has sustained us with fruitful seasons, filled our hearts with food and gladness. His sun shines on us. His rain falls on us. We breathe his air. We live on his earth. God is so good, as we often sing. Just think about smells. Think about this time of the year, the smells. Think about taste of food. You know, God could have made it where you just put it in there. No taste, but no taste. Think about grandkids. We have 9 precious little grandkids, 6 boys and 3 girls. We had 3 daughters. You can get grandsons after having daughters. And we have enjoyed them so much. If they were to come in here right now, it wouldn't matter that you were sitting here. Some of them probably just run down this aisle and run up here and grab me and hug me. And I don't deserve that. And God's been so, so good. If so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious and the Lord is so long-suffering to us. I remember Brother Camp using an illustration, and Brother Camp's kin to Jimmy too. He's got some good blood in him. Brother Camp said, you know, what if 5 years after you become a Christian, and God says, you know, I'm going to be merciful to you for 5 years, but after 5 years, you got to make it on your own. It was 50 years ago, this past April the 28th, that I obeyed the gospel in Savannah, Tennessee. What if God had said, Vance, I'm going to I'm going to be gracious to you for 50 years. You know, that's been about a month and a half now or so, I guess, since that. I'd already be in trouble big time. God is gracious and God is long-suffering. And think about being with Jesus. We sing a song, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see and face to face I shall behold the one who died for me. Imagine the first time it's just you and him and you get to thank him. Can you imagine falling at his feet and thanking him for going to the cross for you? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for, we sing. Oh, the Lord loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And think about the Holy Spirit. That role of revelation and inspiration and confirmation and preservation of the scriptures. And that role of abiding in us and being a down payment, so to speak, of heaven itself. That helps us at times when we, even in our prayers, can't say no more than Nehemiah did or Job did. Oh, God, remember me. 2 weeks ago tomorrow night when I came out to my truck to leave at Pickwick, my phone was just loaded with calls. I immediately got another call. My wife said, if you're on the road, pull off the road. She said, Vance David's been killed in a car accident. And I knew it was going to come my responsibility to go tell my mother. My mother will be 86 soon. She's so frail. I thought she would probably just die. I went to the hospital where my brother's body was bought and met my sister-in-law and stayed there till after 10 o'clock. And then I made my way down to the little old town of Waterloo and broke the news to my mother. But you know what I did on the way there? I prayed and I prayed. Lord, help me. I couldn't word a big old fancy prayer. I didn't need to. But God sustained us through a very, very difficult time. And just think about those that overcome get to come over and behold our God. But also just think about being able to come over to be with all the righteous of all the ages. You think about the safe ones, the little ones. I lost a sister when I was 4 years old, died of spina bifida. My wife and I lost a baby between our second and third daughter. I look forward to seeing them again. I can't bring them back, but I can go to them. I think about those that maybe are tonight your mates, your parents, your grandparents, your siblings, your children, maybe your grandchildren. And oh, to see them again. Paul, to those at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I mean, it was a comfort to them to know they were not at any disadvantage. There would be a reunion, and we will be together forever with the Lord. Even though we miss them so dearly, people right here that you worship with for years, and you still know where their place was, and still you can't even look at that place without being reminded of what they meant to your life. And that sweet fellowship will be renewed. One man told me one time, he said, I know more people dead than I know alive. I said, oh man, that can't be true. But I'll tell you, when you get 62, I think you began to see that to be the truth. I look forward to that reunion. If we overcome, and we can through the Lord, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the precious word, and by a dedicated and faithful and loyal life, we can come over to the most beautiful place ever. A place described as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21. Having this place, having all the glory of God, We sing how beautiful heaven must be. We sing in heaven, they're singing. We read of its beauty, but somehow we know its glory has never been told. The psalmist said in Psalm 8, verse 3, you can just see him maybe lying out in the meadow with his sheep and looking up at the stars. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And he talks about the work of God's fingers. And you think about this beautiful world with its wonderful sights, the colors of fall and the flowers, the mountains, the clouds, the snow, the sunrises, the sunsets, valleys, and birds and butterflies and rainbows and aged saints and little kids with freckles. And a marvelous, marvelous city described as a place with a street of pure gold, with 12 foundations of precious stone, with gates of pearl, walls of jasper adorned with all manner of precious stones, lit by the glory of God, with a river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne, with a tree of life for us to partake. What a marvelous, marvelous place. If you'll overcome, you get to come over and be with the Lord and behold the Lord, to be with all the righteous who've ever lived of all the ages. You think about patriarchal age and the mosaical age and the age in which we live. And just think about the beauty of that place. But then I want you to think about a place where all the burdens of life are removed. Job talked about the burdens of life. Man that's born a woman is few days full of trouble, Job 14. He said in Job 6, if you were to weigh my grief and my calamity, it would weigh more than the sand of the sea. Bible says in that book, yet trouble came. And he was a great man. And at my brother's funeral, I spoke about sometimes bad things happen to good people. And good people are called upon to suffer in this world. And you think about health struggles, you think about storms and crime and persecution, relationship struggles, sin's consequences, aging, loneliness, and death. Someone once said, being right with God doesn't always give us cash, comfort, and a Cadillac. And that's so true. We're not to heaven yet. Families that love the Lord, like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they too had their struggles. But oh, to be free at last, at rest, where the wicked cease their troubling, and the weary are at rest. Job 3 and verse 17. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors. And you think about a place where there's no more illness, no more pain or suffering ever again. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death and no more crying and no more pain. Just think about sickness and disease, like cancer and heart disease and strokes, and Parkinson and fibromyalgia and arthritis, sickle cell anemia, aplastic anemia. I didn't even know what that was until a sweet lady left this world at age 32, leaving two little precious daughters. MSA, you know what that is? Multiple systems atrophy. We have a young man at Double Springs. Years, not too many years ago, he was driving race cars and motorcycles. And now he lies, he can't even raise his hand to his mouth. Multiple systems atrophy. Think about blindness and deafness. I was speaking at the nursing home this afternoon in Double Springs. A new patient was there, and I detected pretty quickly that he was blind. Think about depression and all forms of handicaps and mental retardation. Think about pain. Some of you probably have had to take pain medicine today. Arthritis, back pain. A few years ago, I'd heard people talk about sciatic nerve pain down your leg. They talk about that, and I thought, man, it can't be that bad. Until I had that, had to have back surgery. And I'm telling you, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd be walking the driveway to our house trying to get some relief. Migraines. Some of you have dealt with pain, no doubt. In Matthew 8 and verse 6, it talked about one who was grievously tormented. Think about death. death. The enemy can't be satisfied. The one that never says it's enough, Proverbs chapter 30. But death itself will have died. When I got that call that David had been killed, it almost still seems like a bad dream. The picture is on the front page of the Savannah paper of the collision. I've read the obituary. I've spoken at his funeral. But it still seems like it just couldn't have happened. Death. You imagine Matthew chapter 2 when Herod killed all those babies and Jeremiah had talked about the weeping. Tears, tears, tears. Think about, no doubt right now, not far from this place, somebody's shedding a tear. Disappointments, broken promises of one mate toward another, losses and poverty, tears that are shed. Two of my daughters are in nurses. And they would tell me, Daddy, you know, this class has started out with 50 or 60, and it's down to 24. And sometimes they would break down and cry and tell me about someone who had to drop out of the class. There are broken dreams all around us. Tears that are shed. Think about no more separations. Beyond the land of parting, we sing. No more struggles and anxieties of any kind. That little adverb of time in Luke 16:25, Abraham said to the rich man about Lazarus, but now. My brother, I really believe a week ago, last Monday, 2 weeks tomorrow, was his best day ever. Oh, it seems like terrible to us, but he was a faithful Christian. There was something far better. Just think about a place where there's no more decay. Everything will be forever new. No more temptation. No more fighting the devil. There was an old man at Double Springs who lived to be 102. I picked him up one day on a church van. He was 95. We were riding along, and he just, out of the blue, he said, boy, I've been fighting the old devil today. I said, you mean at 95 you still have to fight him? He said, oh, yes, you do. Just think about a place where there's no night, there are no car wrecks, there are no plane crashes, there are no armies, no guns, no nuclear weapons, no abuse, no terrorists, no violence, no pills, no surgeries, no hospitals, no nursing homes, no dialysis centers, no funeral homes, no wheelchairs, no crutches, no walkers, no dentures, no glasses, no hearing aids. Oh, think of a home over there. If we will overcome. And we will be there forever. I can't fathom that, but I know that's to be true. I'll exchange my cross for a starry crown where the gates swing outward never. At his feet I'll lay every burden down and with Jesus live forever. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Just think about praising our God, worshiping with people from all over the world and all over time. I am told that it takes 23 hours for Sunday to begin around the world. But imagine we'll all be in the same time zone. I'm supposed to speak Wednesday night in Rome, Georgia. And the preacher admonished me. Now, you remember, we're in an Eastern time zone. He don't want me getting over there an hour late. But imagine all in the same time zone, worshiping our God. Yes, the Lord wrote 7 letters encouraging them to overcome. Oh, there were some things that needed to be addressed. They needed to overcome apathy. They were challenged to overcome fear, to overcome false doctrine, to overcome immorality, to overcome materialism. How about you? How about me? We can overcome. Thanks be to God, we can. And it's worth every sacrifice necessary to make heaven our home. Friend, you can't afford to miss it. Life, L-I-F-E. Live it for eternity. But as you are right now, would heaven be your home? If on the way home tonight, death would come to you as quickly as it did my brother. If the Lord returned tonight, can every one of us say, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, and it be true? We know for earth the house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Are you a Christian? Are you living in such a way that you're overcoming? And one day we'll be the beneficiary of those great rewards to those that overcome. If you're here tonight and you need to render obedience to the gospel, you're among people that love you. So allow Brother Jimmy tonight to baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. Look what you'd become. Look what you'd receive. Look what would lie in wait for you if you'll be faithful and loyal. And you might be here tonight and you've given in to Satan. Revelation 12 talks about overcoming him, but you've given in to him. If that's of a public nature, why not repent tonight and come home, start all over, and let's go to heaven together. As we often say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Just a step. And if there's one here tonight that needs to make that step tonight to come to the Lord, it's our prayer you will. As right now, we together stand and sing.